Yes, yes, yes. On a Tuesday, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, got you 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Only two more shows with you this week, so thank you for rocking with us as Chris gets his headset on. You know, Chris, I know you had to do the post-game.
I had to.
You had to watch every single second of that shellacking of the Sacramento Kings. But I will say this about the Kings. At least when they don't show up, unless you have to watch
they
let you know, hey, we're not showing up today.
Yeah.
If you got to handle your kids, if you got to make dinner, go ahead. We're not going to tease you.
Mm-hmm. Monday Night Football.
Right, right. We're not going to tease you, make you hang around. We're just not going to show up. We're just not going to get off the plane so you can just continue with your evening.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Kings are all for family fun.
That's
right. They're a family first team, and they understand that, you know, not everyone can just sit here and watch 48 minutes of basketball every single night. And so they're like, you know what, guys, we're gonna spare you.
Yeah.
We're not going to win today.
Let's all
and
take
we're
a
gonna,
night
we're
off.
We're going to do it early. We're all going to take the night off, right? Holidays are around the corner. Mm-hmm. We're all feeling that itis, you know.
That's right.
And, you know, we're gonna let Allen, we know you got a young child at home. Mm-hmm. You know, you probably got to feed the kid.
Yeah, we haven't tried green beans last night. Went well.
They got your back, man.
Uh-huh.
I know you're from the Bay. This is not a Golden State.
No.
Like, nah, we're not here for glitz and glamour and all that. We are here for families and for fun. And it can't be both. So last night was not fun. So it was for the families. Mm-hmm. And they made sure they wrapped it up early so everyone could get a good night's sleep and again be ready for this fun holiday week.
You at the club.
Thank you, Sacramento.
Yeah,
Kings.
You at the club.
Thank you.
And you know, it gets to 1 a.m. They turn the lights on and you say, hey, the club doesn't close till 2. We're just going to open it early because y'all just need to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Just go home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Y'all
just
have already done enough damage today.
Just go home. We're going to save your wallets. We're going to save you some rejection.
Yep.
Just
some
go home, Roger.
Yep.
Go
big
home.
Home. Go home, Roger energy yesterday.
And with that being said, 129-93. And look, thank you, Sacramento Kings, but golly, you were down 40 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
4-0.
Yeah, it felt like it too.
It did.
It really did.
It did.
It was like, oh, it wasn't already 40? Okay.
40 points.
It was terrible. It was horrible.
And you left. It was kind of a worse scenario because 40 points, you're down at one point, and you had more injuries.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into the injuries and the Kings getting smacked by the Pelicans. Want to talk about the Niner fans being a little bit disingenuous, even though in some ways you do have a point when comparing Brock Purdy and Patrick Mahomes. We'll get into that. And Chris came to me today.
I did.
As we sat down and we're getting ready to start the show, he goes, today is the day. It's time to talk trades.
Mm-hmm.
He's decided. I don't know why. I said, hey, I don't want to do the show before the show. Let's talk about this when we get on the air. So Chris is going to have a conversation about realistic trades. And the operative word there is realistic.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the Eagles and the Chiefs. Let's get into that right now.
Please.
I mean, they don't do the commercials anymore for Southwest. Is it Want to Get Away?
Yes.
But Marquez Valdes-Scantling,
oh,
brother.
Oh, my gosh. Bro, just start packing. Just get home. You don't even get, like, just call before you start getting home and say, hey, can somebody start packing my bags now? Because it's going to be a long night if we don't start now. Because it's over. It's like,
no.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
No, you, it's not over, though.
No, it's over
for
them.
They don't have anybody else.
They cannot continue to throw out Marquez Valdes-Scantling out. This has been 2 years now of Marquez Valdes-Scantling going over to the Chiefs after his little weird career in Green Bay where he would only catch deep balls like the one we saw last night.
Mm-hmm.
And he was supposed to be the guy to take the top off the defense. He was the one who, oh, yeah, we can let go of Mecole Hardman because MVS does the same thing. We can let go of,
They
got Hardman back. And, you know, I think a part of the reason they got rid of Tyreek Hill was because, not specifically Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but I think they thought guys like Mecole Hardman, like Kadarius Toney, and like MVS, they thought that their speed would be comparable to Tyreek Hill and they can utilize it in a similar fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Last night we saw, well, that's not quite the case. Speed is fun. You know, Al Davis loved Darius Hayward Bay.
Yeah,
that was great. Speed is awesome. It gets you open. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to catch the ball. You're a wide receiver on a wide open route for game. You got to catch that ball. There's no excuses. And you have to believe Patrick Mahomes is going to Andy Reid. He's probably going to the GM as well today. And he's saying, guys, this is ridiculous. Yeah. I know I'm getting paid $50 million a year or whatever it is, but I see the light now. I understand what Tom Brady was doing, taking all those pay cuts so he could have Gronk and all those other weapons around him. Now is the time. Please, please, I'm on my knees as Patrick Mahomes begging, get me somebody else to throw the football
to.
Well,
that has nothing to do with this season because the trade deadline is passed.
No, it's over.
Right?
No.
You gotta go to the scrap heap and see what you can dig up. And you had me thinking because of just straight up burners. Do you remember that guy? I found his name. He's from Washington. I think he just recently.
John Ross?
Yes. He just recently retired. And the whole thing was he broke the record. But do you remember this
piece? 40 record,
right? He was going to win an island. But the problem was, yes, if you broke a record, they were going to give a play. Yes. They
at
were gonna,
the combine?
At the combine. But here's the kicker.
It was a Mr. Beast video?
It was sponsored. Here you go. I'll never forget this. It was sponsored, and I'm going to get whichever one it was switched. But it was either, it was sponsored by Nike, and he wore Adidas, so he did not win the island, or vice versa. But that guy came into the league, and he broke all these records, but you couldn't either get open or catch the football or both. So speed is cool and all.
That's great.
And I don't know if MVS has, I do believe that there are the catching yips. I've seen it happen. I've experienced them myself.
Sure. Especially on wide open ball.
I mean.
Whenever you have time to think about anything, it's
and Mahomes, out of the goodness of his heart, and you know he don't believe this. Mahomes, you know, maybe I could have put a little less
maybe
on it.
Could have, maybe I could have put a little less on it.
There you go. Sounds a lot more like him. That's a lot better. I was like, who is he trying to do? And then you did that, and I was like, okay.
So the Eagles escape another tough match, right? Tough game for them. And Niners fans everywhere are saying, dang it, Chiefs, you had one job. You had one job, and they couldn't get it done. You got Marquise Valdes-Scantling slamming his helmet as he's walking back. Come on, you don't got to do it.
Great memes out of that.
And, you know, the person who is thanking MVS the most is not the Eagles. It's Travis Kelce. Because that guy had a stinker. That guy had a complete stinker.
Yeah.
He fumbled in the red zone. He couldn't catch a pass. It was bad. And if you're wondering, is it because Allen took him in Prize Picks? Yes, it probably
it
is.
It definitely is.
So blame me.
Yeah.
So blame me because that's what happens. They just decide I'm going to forget how to catch a football.
Yep.
So, you know, the Chiefs, for everything that they've gone through this season, we're going to get into the MVP conversation a little bit deeper here as we get into the show. But, yeah, man, it was a rough go.
Yeah, it was gross. I really don't. If you're an Eagles fan, I really wonder how you feel about this season so far. Like, you're getting the results, which I think ultimately is what matters. But at the end of the day, if you're trying to build confidence for a fan base or even as a collective unit, I wonder how that locker room must feel in terms of going against good competition, unless this is just the formula that they're going to go to every single game, where it's just, you know, yeah, we have a game plan, but realistically, our plan is to just beat the hell out of the other team in the trenches. And we think that just being out physically both sides of the line, we think that that'll be a recipe that at least puts us in a situation to win. And so far, they're, what is it, 10-1 now? Are they 9-1 now?
Yeah.
On the season, it's worked for them every single week, but it doesn't seem like they have, unless that's what they are branding as Eagles football, I don't know what their identity is besides that.
No,
and I'm not saying it's a bad identity either. I wonder if that's a feasible strategy. Unless you truly believe that you just have more dogs than anybody else in the NFL, which they definitely might. I mean, but it just seems like a very bold strategy to try and go into the postseason with.
Yeah, and I'm of the mindset that the Niners have looked better than the Eagles this season.
Top end.
Now, will the Niners beat the Eagles? I don't know, because the Eagles know how to muck up a football game and muddy it up and not allow you to play your best brand of football. That's the Eagles brand. Yep. We're going to make you, I guess, not play down to our level, but we're not going to let you do the things you want to do. And offensively, I mean, the tush push, the brotherly shove, if you get within 1 yard. The thing for me is that getting within 1 yard also isn't very easy. And the numbers already, the numbers already support that when, if you get to fourth and one, most of the time you're getting your you're converting, right? The numbers say to go for it. So this, oh, well, the Eagles, they're always in fourth down territory. Yeah, but you can't do the brother. They're not doing it with fourth and two. They're not doing it fourth and three. They're literally only doing it fourth and one, which I think a lot of teams are converting anyway. So that's why the brotherly shove doesn't really move me that way, because it's more about you guys are the ones allowing them to get to fourth and one. You have to not allow them to get to fourth and one.
Right.
So I don't even know if I would call that their identity. I literally tweeted during the game. I said, I don't know why Niners fans are worried. I don't know if you saw this. We're worried about the Eagles so much. Offensively, they look like they're missing something. Jalen Hurts hasn't even broken 100 yards. Chris, I press send, and he chucked
he
that
just
ball.
Chucked
he
it deep.
Chucked that ball deep to Devontae Smith, and that's what they do when you least expect it, because it just it looks brutal for three quarters, and they're just it's check down Charlie, and everybody wants to talk dink and dunk. I think a lot of these quarterbacks dink and dunk more than we think, and it was just, okay, we're just going to throw it to DeAndre Swift here, and they're missing Dallas Goedert, so they don't have that tight end security blanket, and then all of a sudden they catch a sleeping, and unlike MVS for the Chiefs, Devontae caught the football, and that's the difference in the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what they try and do. It's kind of, I mean, I'm trying to think of other comparisons or other teams that do a similar fashion, and the closest thing I can think of is like what the Lakers try and do almost, where it's, let's keep the game close for 3.5 quarters, and then LeBron will take it the rest of the way, and that's kind of the game plan. It's just, is keep it close, because we know we have this guy who could take it over the top, and I think the Eagles try and implement kind of a similar motto where it's, Let's make it physical. Let's get the other team out of their rhythm. And then we just need one to two explosive plays that'll set us over the top, because we do have those playmakers that we can rely on. That, I mean, A.J. Brown almost didn't touch the ball yesterday.
Both of them are never going to go off against a good team.
Right.
And the Chiefs, very good defense this year or this season. And they decided it ain't going to be A.J. Brown.
Right.
And that hurt the Eagles until it didn't.
But because Swift also went off.
Right.
And
we
have
MVP,
Smith go off.
We have a Heisman candidate in Devontae Smith. So, all right, got to get to a break. When we get back, the theme of this show, are you giving the Kings a pass? We want to hear from you, 916-339-1140. Are you giving the Kings a pass? Styles and Watkins got you till 2 p.m. Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m., as we grieve the loss of the winning streak of the Kings. It won't be the last one. Yeah.
Come on.
I think about it over and over again. It was all good just a couple days ago. The beam was bright.
So bright.
We did not get one last night. And Mike Brown had some things to say. And I want to give a shout out. I don't know what your listening pattern is there, Willie, but Willie called into the show yesterday and said, them boys ain't ready for Zion.
He laughed. He said, oh, y'all
really
think you got an answer?
Really did collect the Kings.
Yes, and he was spot on because the Kings, we knew Zion, fresh legs, He's in, he's out, he's in, he's out. Zion, fresh legs, something to prove. When he's engaged, he's been outstanding, and he was all of the above last night. And here's Mike Brown saying that, yeah, we didn't really stand a chance last night.
We did not show any resistance at all, no matter who we threw out there. So didn't matter who, if we had injuries or not, we weren't getting it done from the beginning. Zion was a grown-ass man tonight, and we had no answers for him at all. Obviously, Brandon Ingram got hot in the second half, but First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, we couldn't do anything with Zion tonight.
And that's pretty much it, right? Zion came in, and what a great business model. I'm just going to play every couple of games, look outstanding, and then chill again. I don't even know if Zion will play tomorrow. I have no clue.
Probably
I have
not.
No clue.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Right. I'll play in a couple groups. I'll look good. And then I'm just going to chill and complain about something else. That's the Zion model. But I can't really get on Zion because he gave it to the Kings last night, as Coach Mike Brown said. And the question is, with all of that being said and coming off a back-to-back, which the Kings just did get the better side of that, beating the Mavericks, who were coming off a back-to-back. But I saw a lot in King's social media circles, and the Beam regime was talking, and I saw a lot of this was a scheduled loss, mm-hmm. right? And this is not only something that happens to the Kings. It happens to all teams. Right. So the question that we are asking to you, Kings fans, the kingdom, are you giving the Kings a pass? Mm-hmm. Are you, Chris Watkins?
I'm not. I'm not going to give them a pass. I think, first and foremost, the Kings aren't allowed to have a performance like they had yesterday because they already had two weeks ago in Houston. Mm-hmm. We've already been through this song and dance, and if Wednesday goes like how Monday went after how Houston went, I feel bad for Mike Brown because it's one of those things where I wouldn't know what else to tell my guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought we were on the other side of this. I thought we already learned this lesson, and it's got to be infuriating. So I'm not giving them a pass. I don't think you can go out and have the effort that they had yesterday. I think it's one thing to be on the second night of a back-to-back, but it's another thing to just not be physical at all and not really ever give yourself a chance. I thought maybe it was the individual defense on Zion, and I'm not trying to point fingers yet. We'll talk more specifically about Zion a little bit later, but I thought Zion Williamson was just getting whatever he wanted, and mm-hmm. I think we all knew that his points exclusively come at in the paint. And
left-handed.
Once he gets in the paint, it's over. Like, you can't stop him. He's too big. He's too vertical. Like, there's no way you're mm-hmm. going to be able to get in his path once he's in the paint. My problem is, don't allow him to get in the paint. I don't care if you have to use every foul you have. Just be a wall at that paint and do not allow him to step in it. And the Kings just let him get wherever he wanted. In that second quarter, he scored 18 on, I think he was 8 of 11 or 8 of 10.
It looked like a replay of the same play.
It was ridiculous. It was over and over and over and over again. And then Brandon Ingram in the third quarter does the same thing, but from the perimeter. Just mm-hmm. can't be stopped, can't be touched. And so, no, I mean, yes, they were on a – we talked, I think, late last week about excuses versus reasons. Mm-hmm. For sure, maybe you can say it's a valid reason or a valid excuse for the Kings to be on the second night of a back-to-back and perform that way, but I don't think that should give them the excuse of performing the way that they did yesterday. There was just no heart. Like, there was no heart, no effort for 48 minutes. They just gave up, and you can't have that. You just can't. Kings can come back. You can come back from 18 down.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to make it.
You're missing
close.
Keegan. Yeah. Keegan goes down.
Sure.
Right? Keegan goes down. Duarte goes down. These guys go down. You were already missing Keon Ellis. So, mm-hmm. I'm just saying this is what it was, right? Yep. But with all that being said, I think losing is acceptable in these situations, right? The Pelicans had just lost a game by 1 point to the T-Wolves where they did not have Zion.
Right.
So they were looking to get back on the good side of things. So I get all that. But at the same time, 40.
Down by 40.
40. And I'm seeing it on the YouTube chat and also on the text line. It looks like the sound didn't fully come through for Mike Brown. I'll tell you what you missed. He said Zion was a grown man and we had no answers for him. Yep. He was doing whatever he wanted. That's what you missed. That's all he said. We'll get that back for you again. But that's what we're referencing. Zion was doing whatever he wanted. And, you know, not to point fingers, but my question is, when that's happening, I'd love to get a mic sound of in the huddles. Like mm-hmm. Mike Brown to say that. After the game, well, we were all watching that. Cool. Was it a matter of you telling the team, guys, do this, do that?
Right.
What was the game plan, and did they not
execute? Right.
Right? And my question is, you know, how they handle Draymond and how they handle certain guys that can't shoot. I know that first game when Zion came to the league, he made 5 threes or something ridiculous like that. Is the reason people don't do that with Zion because you can't afford to let him get ahead of steam?
Yes.
Okay, because that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking just fall back and let him shoot a J.
Nah, he's too big. That's the problem. He's too big, too powerful, too strong. Like, if you give him 2 steps, he's going to either blow past you or go right through you, or he'll use those 2 steps, take off. And because he is a freak. Like, and mm-hmm. that's something that, you know, if you want to give the Kings, again, another excuse, it's – look, it's like Wemby. Nobody really has a guy that they can put on someone like Zion. There's a reason why he's an anomaly. He's a freak. Mm-hmm. There's not many people you can put on him, but I think Zion, the reason why it's really frustrating with a guy like Zion is because he's 6'7". Like, it's not like he's 7'4", like Wembanyama, right, where there's nobody. Like, ideally, yeah, Harrison Barnes definitely is not as thick as Zion, right, but you would like to think Harrison can put some resistance.
Something.
There's like an 8-year age gap there, right, maybe, you know,
grown man strength.
That's what I'm saying, you know.
Them elbow
grease.
There's
got to be something there that you can do to throw Zion some issues. You're telling me you've been in the league for 10, 12 years, you haven't picked up any neat little trick against going against bigger guys or anything like that? It's just, like Mike Brown said, the lack of resistance to me was the problem. It's okay if Zion just goes crazy, has some tough, crazy finishes, mm-hmm, throws it down on a couple people. If he just has a night, look, again, dude's a freak. You can live with it. But you can't just allow him to get to his spots and make it easy for all of them. Brandon Ingram had no problem. Zion had no problem. Jonas Valanciunas, who I was going, I felt like I talked way too much yesterday about Jonas Valanciunas. That fool went crazy as well. They let the Pelicans do whatever they want, and you just can't do. You can't let a team get into rhythm the way that they let the Pelicans get into rhythm.
Here, looking at the box score, I mean, it looks like a war zone. It's a complete disaster.
Disgusting.
And I want you to guess. Are you already looking at it?
No, I'm not.
Okay. There is one player.
Okay.
One player that, in terms of, and I know plus or minus, hey, if a team loses, there's going to be a lot of minuses.
Yes.
If they win, there's going to be a lot of pluses.
Sure.
But this is just hilarious. I need you to guess the one player that was a plus and not
Kings.
A minus. The one player on the whole roster.
It's either somebody who played a lot in the first. It's definitely not Kessler Edwards, that's for sure. There's no way it's Harrison Barnes. Please don't tell me it's Harrison.
It's not a starter.
Oh, okay.
It's not
Thank
a starter.
You. Okay, thankfully. We'll say Colby Jones. Fourth quarter, Colby Jones.
Colby Jones was a minus one. The correct answer was Philip Petrušev.
Okay. Okay.
Who is probably about to leave.
Probably about to leave, yeah. We saw yesterday there's reports that Sasha's old club, Olympiakos, is heavily engaged on talks with Philip Petrušev. So he might not be around for much longer. So it was great to see him. But, yeah, that's not great. The fact that that's pretty much saying the only minutes the Kings won all night were the last, like, six.
A win's a win, I guess. Talk about tiny victories, microscopic victories. Got to get to.
Kings closed out that game great.
Hey,
yesterday.
You know, if we're looking on the other side,
it's not about how you start; it's about how you finish.
Exactly.
You know?
Got to get to a break. When we get back, we are comparing Brock Purdy to Patrick Mahomes. We also have something to say about everybody that wanted the Kings to have more injuries. All the injury luck. That's at 10:45, and then 11 a.m. We have Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles, also covering the Kings for the Sacktown Bee. He is in the NOLA right now, so we're going to talk to Chris at 11. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
We did not show any resistance at all, no matter who we threw out there. So didn't matter who, if we had injuries or not. We weren't getting it done from the beginning. Zion was a grown-ass man tonight, and we had no answers for him at all. Obviously, Brandon Ingram got hot in the second half, but first half, second half, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, we couldn't do anything with Zion tonight.
There you go. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, thank you to the great Simone. You told us you couldn't hear it. Simone figured it out.
Had to make it right.
Had to make it right. That's why she is the best in the biz. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. Mm. The theme of the show today is, are you giving the Kings a pass? And we see you on the YouTube chat partying in there. So we will get to you, and also on the text line. That is the theme. You can call in 916-339-1140. Are you giving the Kings a pass? Injuries, second night of a back-to-back. They've been rolling. The Pelicans were hungry. Zion has returned. Are you giving them a pass? Now, quickly, I want to switch gears because Niner fans, I struggle sometimes because they make some good points, but at the same time, there is a lot of woe is me and the world is against us. And it's the selective, I don't want to go Chris Rock here and say selective outrage, but it's a selective memory that I feel that Niner fans tend to use, and I don't think it's specific to Niner fans. I think it's all fan bases. But we're talking about Brock Purdy, so this is going to be with the Niner fans. So where I'm going with this is that let me start on where Niner fans are correct, okay? And then I'm going to talk about the issues that I have with what they're saying. So where the Niner fans are correct is that the NFL will never admit this, but I think that there is an idea for MVP voters and that whole setup that you have to pay your dues, okay? Sure. Very similar to anybody else doing a different job, right? The idea that when you go and you're an intern and you're grabbing coffee, I don't even know if interns do that anymore, but you know.
I don't even know if interns exist
anymore. Right, right. It's all online now, yeah. But the idea, hey, you're going to grab coffee, you're going to work your way up and earn our respect, that has nothing to do with your job. No, that has nothing to do with your job. That has nothing to do with you being better.
Not your furthering your
exactly.
career at
no,
all.
That is just something that you have to do because that's how things have been done, yep. And we're just breaking you in. That's kind of how it goes. And I feel like some of that is happening with Brock Purdy. Now, paying your dues does not always have to happen at the NFL level. So when I look at the past MVPs, right? I think that you need to either pay your dues or you also have to follow certain storylines or have a good storyline. I think it kind of ties in together. So when you look at Jalen Hurts, you can't just come out of nowhere and all of a sudden win an MVP. Mm-hmm. I just don't think the NFL will allow you to do that.
Sure.
You have to pay
Prove
your
it
dues.
Over multiple
yes.
years.
Jalen Hurts, he got hurt at the end of last season. There was a good chance he could have won MVP. They might have given it to Mahomes anyway. But Jalen Hurts, when did he pay his dues? Oh, well, Alabama, we know the story with Tua. And now nobody thought it was going to be him.
Right.
And now he's built his way up. Lamar Jackson, we saw what he did. He paid his dues at Louisville. Mm-hmm. We saw what he did at Louisville, but he still went later in the draft behind these other guys. But it looks like it does translate. So, yeah, we were wrong. Let's give him the MVP, or he has earned mm-hmm. the MVP. And the same thing in a different way happened with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith. He's paid his dues. He's shown up. And then he balled out at the end of that last season. Then he came in and continued to do it and almost took down Tom Brady. MVP worthy. So I get what the Niner fans are talking about because the idea that a Mr. Irrelevant, right, even though it's a good story for Disney, it's actually not a great story for the NFL.
Right.
The NFL has to sell, hey, come to our NFL draft in Vegas.
3 days.
3 days. And you're sitting there saying, why? All the guys you drafted at the front are stinkers, and my team just drafted an MVP candidate at the end. So do I think that the NFL is holding back Brock Purdy or avoiding him? Right now he's sixth in MVP odds. And yeah. I think we would both say that's kind of fair,
sure.
right? Now,
somewhere around there.
Somewhere
yeah.
around there. Now, do you think Dak Prescott, who is ahead of him, should be?
No.
Maybe not. Do you think Jalen Hurts, who is ahead of him, I believe Jalen Hurts is either first or second, should be ahead of him?
No.
Probably not.
I don't
but
think so.
Where Brock actually is, I think, isn't that much of a slap in the face.
No.
So I think
he's in the conversation.
He's in
least.
The conversation. So that is where I agree with Niner fans. So let me just say that. Where Niner fans are tripping a little bit is when everybody is talking last night after Butterfingers McGee, Marquise Valdes-Scantling, drops the game-winning touchdown pass, and people are saying, man, Mahomes needs help. I got Niner fans everywhere saying, well, I thought that you couldn't have help because that's what you keep saying about Brock Purdy. Can we stop being disingenuous? Can we just be realistic for a second? A couple of things. Number one, we're not saying you can't have help. You just can't have people that are actively selling the game.
Sure.
You can't have people that stink,
yeah.
okay?
Dropping pass. I mean, they lost week one against the Lions because they couldn't get simple catches
and
from
Mahomes
Kadarius Toney.
And Mahomes is powering through that,
yeah.
okay? And the other
They're,
thing—
What, 7-3 now?
Yes. Yeah. And the other thing I'll say is that they are literally ignoring the fact that Mahomes went through the same thing 2 years ago. Mahomes lost to Joe Burrow, then went into that next season and lost Tyreek Hill. And everybody wanted to say, Josh Allen has caught up. Joe Burrow has caught up. You lost Tyreek Hill. Where is that deep threat down the field? And all Mahomes did with a bunch of people like Juju Smith-Schuster, who TikToks
can't even play
more than
for
he
the
catches
Patriots
the
right
football,
now.
Okay, and he wins a Super Bowl. So when you're talking about MVPs, stop being disingenuous, okay? Just be realistic. We understand. I understand your point.
Yeah.
But stop playing around and acting like you don't know ball, because we know that you need guys that can catch the football. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is, and now you're going to make us do it, what do the Chiefs do last season with Brock Purdy as their QB? And sure. I don't even want to do that.
No, that's not. I thought we promised we would.
No, we promised we wouldn't. But when the Niner fans continue to say, well, we're not saying that, not have guys, but you have all pros all over the field. So just stop it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a difference between having just a little bit of help. We're not saying that Patrick Mahomes has to go out there and do it by himself. It's okay to have, you know, no one says Travis Kelce. You can have a little bit more than a tight end as well. It's okay. You can have not as many weapons as you want, but I think the problem with Brock is kind of what you're getting at. I think that I just think he's treated a little bit. I do think he's treated just a little bit differently. But I hear what you're saying about Patrick Mahomes, and I do agree with what you're fundamentally saying. I think it's not fair that Patrick Mahomes apparently can't have anybody in order for him to be able to earn MVP. He has to be elevating a group of complete no-names and have no second flaws or anything. Like, he can't struggle at all if he doesn't have anybody. He has to still look like the same guy in order for him to be at MVP level, and I don't think that's fair. I just kind of, I do think it is a little bit unfair to Brock, though. I do think, and I'm not saying you're not saying it's not unfair to Brock.
Right.
You agree.
I talked for like 5 minutes right there, but I do agree that if Brock wasn't mystery relevant and went in the top three rounds, something like that, he would have better odds right now than sixth best.
Yes.
For MVP.
100%.
I agree with that.
If he was picked in the second round or something, he would probably be second or third in MVP.
Yes,
right
without
now.
A doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you is ultimately what I will come with from what you're saying there. I think that it's not fair that Patrick Mahomes is kind of, I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. I think it's a tough thing to kind of balance because, yes, you do need to have some help, but when is it too much help?
Right.
I think is kind of the crux of where Niner fans are coming from, though, is okay, so you can have a good tight end and a good receiver, but then if you have two good receivers and a good tight end, that's too much. Or is it like, where is the line of having too much help? I think is where Niner fans start to step in and say, okay, well, why is it fair that Joe Burrow has T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and Joe Mixon
and Tyler Boyd
and a good coach and a pretty good defense, and nobody ever talks about it being bad for Joe Burrow? Like, that's where I will kind of always have to go back to the side of, and I don't even want to be on that side, but that's where I have to go in with the 49ers fans and say that's a little unfair, is to pick and choose when and how much is too much help.
Yeah, and right now what's going on with the Niners, because that's true. The problem with the Niner fans right now is that you're trying to find too many issues, right?
Sure.
Pick a struggle.
Yeah, you're trying to plug a ton of holes.
Yeah, you're mad about Jalen Hurts. Yeah. You're mad about Dak Prescott, but also Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. And it's just a lot.
Yeah.
It's just a lot. Let Brock play, do the talking. But I will say to that point, and we can look it up, how many random dudes just come in and win an MVP? And I know Brock, how he ended the season last year. I am not disagreeing that Brock should be higher up the list. The problem is the Niner fans are trying to fight 8,000 fires, right, and feel like the world is against them. I think he would be higher up the list. I think it's just an unwritten rule in the NFL that you have to pay your dues, and I don't think that the NFL feels that Brock has paid his dues yet. Mm-hmm. On top of the fact that you have a Kyle Shanahan, an elite coach, you have guys that have been in the league, right, and it doesn't help that Jimmy Garoppolo, even though he didn't look as good as Brock, looks awful with the Raiders. I mean, awful, right? So if we're okay with Jimmy, if we're still doing that same math and Jimmy was better with the Niners and we already think that Brock is better than Jimmy, you do that math and you can see how somebody said, well, Jimmy is just not an MVP candidate, right? Brock can be in that conversation, but you still could say that this roster has elevated on top of the fact that people are acting like Jimmy had the same weapons. Jimmy didn't have this Brandon Ayuk, right? He had Brandon Ayuk, but not this Brandon Ayuk. And he barely had Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
So just, I get it, Niner fans, but just cool off a little bit.
Can I ask you kind of an unfair question to you, and it's a weird situation to be in, but what do you think happens first, chicken or the egg kind of situation? Is it the fact that people are trying to douse Brock Purdy's fire and Niner fans are only being so vocal because they're trying to douse that, they're trying to douse the dousing of the Brock Purdy fire?
Yeah.
Or is it Niner fans are talking crazy about Brock and the media is trying to tell them, look, you're not, like, you're way too hyped right now. This is the reality of the situation. This is how we all see it from a non-Niner view, if that makes sense.
I will answer that question after the break. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Come on.
Don't have breaking news, but 10 minutes ago, this might have been in a post game. I'm trying to confirm. It's on Clutch Points on Twitter, but they recently posted Zion on top of the factors, and we see you on the YouTube chat talking about, hey, are you giving the Kings a pass here? BCH Custom Cabinetry says no excuses, but there are factors here on the text line, 916-339-1140, giving them a wait and see. I want to see how they respond tomorrow night. If they come out right, I will give them a pass. But last night, if they come out and lay down again and have a repeat of the Houston series, we've got big issues and no pass.
That feels logical.
And to go back to what was posted, not only were the Kings going up against a back-to-back, missing guys, Keegan goes out, Duarte goes out. It looks like the Kings were the first team. I talked about how the Pelicans lost by 1 point to the T-Wolves and how, what was it, just last week Zion had that quote where he said, I'm trying to buy in. So it looks like Zion is saying, and I will wait to read the quote a little bit later. I got to answer Chris's Niner question. It looks like, basically, long story short, all those things put together and the Pelicans were coming off a team meeting and things are looking up for the Pelicans and Zion is speaking on it. So I will get to that sound in a minute here. I wanted to talk to Chris's point and Chris's question that he had before the break, where basically, do we think Niner fans are doing the most because of the media, or is the media reacting to Niner fans doing the most? And I would probably say the former. And I think that in this day and age, negativity is always going to go more viral than positively, unfortunately. And that is why yesterday we sat on these airwaves and said, no more Nick Wright, no more just hot takes that I don't even know that they believe.
Right.
Because Niner fans are taking this. Because besides Nick Wright, the Dan Orlovsky thing, I believe that Dan Orlovsky has since kind of walked back his whole, Mac Jones would do this, right?
What about like Steven Ruiz having Brock Purdy at 25 on his quarterback rating? What was that, like 2 months ago?
Yeah, right. This stuff is legit. Thing. Yes, this stuff is legit. And everybody wants to be a victim. Mm-hmm. I'm being honest. Sure. I don't want to get too spicy here.
For sure.
But nowadays, everybody wants to be a victim and everybody wants to be an underdog, right? And the Niners have been a Class A organization, and this is their opportunity, the fan base's opportunity, to finally be an underdog. Because Brock Purdy is an underdog.
He's the ultimate underdog.
Forget
Kurt Warner.
Right. Don't get me wrong. So, but you go too far now when it's just every single thing, and I get that's what fans do, every single thing you bring back to the Niners when that really wasn't even a part of the conversation. And I got to read some of this stuff off to you. And then we'll get back to Kings because I started yesterday. There's more, okay? These are Brock Purdy's ratings in stuff that I've never even heard before. Mm-hmm. This is from a guy that I follow, love him, John Chapman on Twitter, and he's posting it via somebody else, Gregory Davis. These are some numbers, and these are numbers. I just want to get your reaction to some of these. And not to say that they are accurate.
Yes, they are accurate. Okay? These are real numbers.
Okay. Brock Purdy through 11 weeks, your favorite. Quarterback rating, he's number one.
Of course.
QBR, he's number one.
Because apparently those are different.
Completion percentage, he's number one.
Of course. That's actually a real number. Yes. I like that number. That's a good number.
Touchdown percentage, he's number one.
I think I know what that is.
Passing success rate, he's number one.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yards per attempt, number one. Everybody loves that.
That's a good one.
Yes.
It's a good one.
It shows he's dunk.
Especially a guy who Brock Purdy only dink and dunks, right? He clearly throws the ball down the field.
Okay. Number one, adjusted yards per attempt.
Okay. Okay, you're starting to. Okay, sure.
Number one, yards per completion.
Okay.
13,
that's good.
13.8. That's
great
insane.
Hand in hand stat, yes, with attempts and completions.
That's insane.
That's a great, great combo.
Number one, net yards per attempt.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Number
I
one.
I think I know what that means.
No, it gets better.
Okay.
Number one, adjusted net yards per attempt.
Okay, you're definitely losing me.
Number one, passing rating under pressure.
Okay. Sure.
Number one, completion percentage under pressure.
Okay, that's an actual stat. I like that one. That's a good one.
Number one, yards per attempt under pressure.
Okay.
So he's
just, okay, sure.
Number five.
Under pressure and he still lets it fly.
Number five, big time throw rate.
Yeah, that's not a real stat. What does that mean? Big time throw. Oh, that's, is it whenever an announcer says that's a big time throw?
Yeah.
Like he just has the most of those. Like, what does that even mean? How could one calculate? Okay, anyways, go ahead. If there is more.
Oh, there's more.
Of course. Of
Number
course
six,
more.
Fewest interceptions thrown of players with five or more starts.
Fewest interceptions thrown of a player with, okay, sure. Okay.
End to
That's
end.
Not great, but.
Number seven, completion pick. Percentage. He's top three in completions of 20 or more air yards.
Okay. I mean, sure, that's a fine stat, but that's
I'm going to keep finding more.
Those are all very nuanced stats, and I'm not saying those are actually better stats than I thought they would be. I thought it was going to be a lot of EPA over percentage.
Oh, I can find those. There's more acronyms.
Twice over when pressured in the third quarter. I thought it was going to be a lot of those. I would say like 80% of those are decent stats. I'm not so mad at them, but also I think I said this to you earlier. If you have to dig deep to like all of these specific random numbers, it kind of doesn't help your MVP case.
Sometimes you
at
just
some
do
point,
less.
It needs to
just
be
do
biased.
Less.
Yeah, totally. Do
just
less.
Do less, Niner fans.
Again, a complete, like, some of those are good numbers to throw out at people who still have Brock Purdy. You know, oh, Brock Purdy sucks. He's just a dink and dunk. Well, actually, he has number one in yards per attempt. So how about that? Like, those are good numbers to throw out, but I don't know if those are, hey, these numbers mean that you're MVP or should help your MVP case. To
no.
me, MVP is, I think you were getting at it earlier, like, what, 40 to 60% of MVP is narrative, if we're being
exactly.
honest?
Exactly. And people want to...
Like, vibes?
Right, and people want to ask the questions, and, oh, well, you lift people up, and it really does depend, because you had Mahomes come in, and he had Tyreek, and he had Travis Kelce, and then you had Aaron Rodgers these last couple years, and you're talking about a Jordy Nelson, you're talking about Randall Cobb, yeah, he had Devontae Adams and the rest of the gang, right? And Tom Brady all those years. I mean, Julian Edelman, Bay Area guy, but really, Julian Edelman, yeah. Danny Amendola. Right. These are guys that, I mean, come on, man. So I understand the arguments, but at the same time, y'all just do too much sometimes. And you know what? It is not just Niner fans. Everybody does it. I try not to police fandom, but these acronyms are driving me insane. And apparently the big time rate, apparently that was PFF.
Okay.
I'm going to find more acronyms for you, and I'm going to keep sending them
from
to
PFF.
You.
PFF, okay.
Yes, I'm going to keep sending them to you. We will get to that Zion quote, but we got to get to a break. When we get back, we will have our guy who joins us every week, Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles, also covering the Kings for the Sactown Bee, who I believe is in NOLA right now. We will talk to him about the aftermath of the beatdown of the Kings last night against the Pelicans. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.